2 on your Thursday here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Producer Robbie in there grabbing your talkbacks. In the 8 o'clock hour this morning, we got a lot of audio. We got Joe Biden and his latest gaffe. We have Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary. I'm just furious. I've seen Robbie fired up several times. I know this was up there in terms of his being fired up, and I'm right there with you. Just be honest. But Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, tries to spin what happened in this latest gaffe from President Joe Biden, and it's utterly ridiculous that they simply cannot be honest with the public and the press corps. Everybody knows the reality of it. Stop treating everybody like they're stupid. So we'll get into that at 8 o'clock this morning. Also, later on this hour, I've had several people, including in the middle of when I was promoting it last hour, I got an email. Concerned parents out of Farmington and Farmington High School, apparently this controversy of this email that went out from the assistant principal prompted a walkout yesterday. So we'll give you details on this, and if you want to contribute to the conversation, if you're in the area or have further details, we'll be talking about this right around 7:15 this morning. I am very pleased to welcome to the show, and on short notice as well, Dr. Scott Jensen, gubernatorial candidate. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for joining the show this morning. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
So a lot of news yesterday as it relates to the latest fundraising numbers. My understanding is that your fundraising has jumped quite a bit. Governor Tim Walz does still have more money in this governor's race. But I did want to get your got a couple of things I want to ask you about. But first, let's start off on the fundraising aspect of things. Talk a bit about the fundraising jump and these closing 42 days and what it means for your campaign. And then we'll also get into a bit of the Feeding Our Future scandal.
John, we have been so gratified with the fundraising that's gone on throughout our campaign, but especially the last 2 months. Minnesotans have responded. We have over 35,000 unique donations. We've got over 110,000 people that have joined our email team. We've set the record for any Republican gubernatorial candidate in terms of raising money. We're just about at $4.5 million. We expect to get to $5 million. We outraised or out-accumulated Governor Walz over the last 2 months. I was amused by his comment in the Strib where he said that we had some money come through a subsidy, and he said that his team had done it the old-fashioned way. I was thinking, yeah, the Democratic machine and George Soros and the wealthy from Illinois and these people throwing million-dollar checks and spending $10 million to demonize every Republican candidate. They did it the old-fashioned way. But we've been very gratified, and we are absolutely on fire. And every day we see people coming forth with notes and donation saying, never done this before, never necessarily voted for a Republican or donated, but we're here with you now because we understand that Minnesota's in trouble.
One of the things that I ask quite often to candidates, because I'm genuinely curious, is what is it that you're hearing as you go out and talk to people? And has the conversation shifted recently? And if it has, to what?
Well, clearly, people are absolutely furious with the lawlessness that has literally invaded Minnesota, and they are concerned about the inflation and the economy, particularly in regards to some of the policy decisions Tim Walz has put in place that have driven energy costs higher. And with what's going on in the schools, it seems like parents are being treated like somehow an outsider. And parents, they're not asking for the world. They simply want to know what the curriculum is that's being taught. They want to be respected as one of the three key stakeholders amongst the teachers and the kids and the parents. And so they're fired up about this. But one of the things that's been emerging over the last 2 to 3 weeks is the level of laziness in Tim Walz's administration, particularly with this Feeding Our Future fraud. People are just asking, you know, what's going on? And they feel like there's just a level of incompetence. They look at the daycare fraud a couple of years back, and they see Tim Walz giving the inspector general a free pass and moving her to another department. She keeps her $130,000 salary. She's not disciplined. There's dollars that were supposed to go to house the homeless, millions of dollars squandered. Then there's a calling out of the MDH that they hadn't done an adequate job in providing grants in terms of making sure there was no conflict of interest. And then, of course, we've got this incredible scandal and fraud of $250 million as a minimum regarding Feeding Our Future. And people are just asking the question, what kind of incompetent chaos is going on? in the governor's office.
Well, when we had this unprecedented move by Judge Guthman with relation to what Governor Tim Walz had been saying about their continued payments to Feeding Our Future and MDE, and the judge releasing this press release pushing back and saying these statements that are being made by the governor and MDE are inaccurate. And now you have the governor and you have Keith Ellison. They're trying to go and spin it back another direction. I'm curious what would your response has been when you're looking at this Feeding Our Future scandal. And I think a lot of people, you know, going to your ability to govern the state, were you to be elected, how would you have liked to have seen this particular controversy, this fraud being handled once you found out about it?
John, this would be the same thing I do for the last 40 years. If I'm seeing a patient and I'm concerned that they've got cancer, whether it's because they've got blood in their stool or they're losing weight or they're having some visceral pain in the organs of the abdomen, I dig in and I pursue it. And I think that's what did not happen here. And I think people recognize that. We're seeing Tim Walz and Keith Ellison try to blame the judge. And in an unprecedented move, virtually, the judge says, hold it. You're lying. Because, I mean, inaccurate means you said something that's inaccurate. You lied. And so I think they tried to blame the judge. Then they tried to blame the Department of Agriculture. They tried to blame the FBI. They said they had to keep making millions of dollars in fraud payments because the FBI told them they had to. They didn't dig in. Why didn't Tim Walz and Keith Ellison go and sue the Feeding Our Futures? Why didn't they take action? Why didn't they go monitor one of these feeding sites? It wouldn't have taken much monitoring. You could have someone sit there with a phone camera for 3 hours and find that there's no 2,000 or 4,000 or 6,000 meals being distributed here. 100 million meals were paid for that were never served. It was almost as if the Tim Walz administration and Keith Ellison just quit. And they said, you know what, it's too much work. And so one of the big lies, I think, is we're hearing, they said that it worked, you know, our process worked. We identified it. Well, no, it didn't work. We're out $250 million and you seem not to care.
Talking with Dr. Scott Jensen. One more question for you. I know Governor Tim Walz apparently canceled a meet and greet yesterday. He was citing security concerns. I'm curious what the status is about the potential debates coming up.
We actually today, John, we're going to go out to Hutchinson. The good people of Hutchinson had planned on having a potential conversation, a meet and greet or fundraiser with Tim Walz on Tuesday night, and he canceled it. He doesn't want to interface with the people, so they canceled it. Well, we're going out there tonight. We're gonna meet with the people at 4 o'clock, and we're gonna have a conversation in the park in Hutchinson. And after that, I'm gonna go to a meeting in Hutchinson. But quite honestly, we are going to continue to be as available as possible. And I think Minnesotans are recognizing in a very clear manner that Tim Walz is trying his desperate best to dodge his responsibilities. He's quitting on us. It's no different than when he quit on the National Guard and when his battalion was going to be deployed in 2005, or when he quit on the National Guard in 2020 in the riots and called them a bunch of 19-year-old cooks. He's quitting on Minnesota. He's saying, you're not going to get to see debates. I'm not going to do this in a transparent fashion. I don't even know if he's going to go through with the two debates he has scheduled. We've said we would do anything, but he has said no live audiences. It can't be here. It can't be on this network. He's absolutely acting like an emperor, and he's not being transparent. He's sort of talking the talk, but he's sure not walking the walk. And I think Minnesotans are starting to say, what do you have to hide? Why are you so afraid of being on the stage and having a conversation? What are you afraid of responding to? Why don't you just tell us the truth and tell us why you did what you did? And Jensen can say why he said what he said. Let's just have a conversation. So I'm concerned, John, that Walz is going to cancel on the debates because the strategy he's clearly taking is a page out of Joe Biden's playbook. Yep. He's just going to try to, if you will, hunker down in the basement and stay out of sight and just depend on the Democratic machine and the money he's got to get him across the goal line. And I don't think it's going to work.
Dr. Scott Jensen, for those that want to help or learn more about your campaign, if they don't know enough already, in this closing month, where would you like them to head?
I'd really like people to go to our website at drscottjensen.com, drscottjensen.com. Learn more about us. Get on board. Tim Walz might have the machine, he might have the money, and sometimes he might have the media in his back pocket, but he does not have the movement of Minnesotans. Minnesotans are activating, they're energizing, and they are filled with electricity for this election in November. And we know that the path that we're on is not sustainable for another 4 years. It absolutely is broken. We're tired of laziness. We're tired of them quitting on Minnesotans. We're tired of them quitting on the National Guard.
Thank you so much for the time. And again, coming on such a short notice, I really do appreciate it. And we'll talk to you, certainly talk to you between now and Election Day.
Thanks, John.
And to that point, I want to bring this up. And this is the difference here. You know, Governor Tim Walz is out there dodging the debates that typically happen during a campaign cycle, you know, touting security concerns, you know, over a scheduled meet and greet, which my understanding was simply because the Walz failed campaign happened to be parked out on the street with Walz failed signs. But I reached out to Dr. Scott Jensen, you know, way late the day yesterday, and, you know, more than willing to go and come on the show. All right, one more quick item as it relates to elections, and then I want to put the call out to those who may have further details on what's been happening at Farmington High School. I've had a lot of listeners reaching out even this morning on this letter that was sent to a limited number of people, but has now made the rounds to students and parents at Farmington High School. You can leave a talk back if you have any additional information to share, or, of course, give us a call, 651-989-5855, and email justice@iheartmedia.com. We are going to get into this coming up in just a few moments. Apparently, this prompted a walkout at the high school yesterday. Real quick, though, let me share this with you. A recent ABC News Washington poll, again, take it for what it's worth. I don't put a ton of stock in this, but this particular story is rather interesting. They tried to bury an extremely notable lead that Republican candidates taking over a majority of swing districts. Registered voters right now favor Republicans 55-34% in districts that are highly competitive. This is according to ABC's 538 poll. The 21% lead suggests a red wave that will leave Democrats with numerous losses. Analysts feel fairly comfortable, stating that the GOP will win the House. RCP, Real Clear Politics, reported, if all of the toss-up districts turned Democratic, Republicans would still maintain a majority of 218 seats. The RCP data points to 32 houses in those races being toss-ups. In a numerical breakdown, Real Clear Politics rated 22 districts as lean Republican, 17 as likely, and 179 as safe. 17 districts were lean Democratic, 20 were likely Democratic, and 185 were safe Democratic. Now, Democrats who project the House will turn blue are simply wish casting, according to Real Clear Politics. Democrats would need to win almost every competitive seat while holding on to all lean Democrat districts to cause an upset. Now, recent polls for Washington and Nevada further claims of the ABC News Washington Post poll. As midterm elections round the corner, Democrats in those states are at risk of losing their Senate seats. Look, we have 6 weeks to go. Anything can happen. Biden is not helping the Democrats. His administration is not helping the Democrats right now, and we'll demonstrate that with this audio of the latest gaffe from Joe Biden coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. All right, on the way, yesterday in the 8 o'clock hour, if you missed it, be sure you listen to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app, we covered White Bear Lake High School and how they were no longer going to crown a king and queen as part of the annual homecoming celebration, now going with a more royalty-based homecoming. We covered this at length. Well, apparently, and the story points this out, Alpha News said that many other school districts in the state are moving away from a traditional homecoming court, including Farmington High School. Now, in Farmington, the assistant principal sent out an email or a letter talking about the change in the parade and coronation, switching to royalty instead of king and queen. However, there's one item the assistant principal allegedly wrote in this Farmington High School post that is quite controversial. I'll share with you the details next, and again, want to hear from you, 651-989-5855, or use the talkback function on the iHeartRadio app.
God, Jensen is a fascist and a Nazi, and he will not become the next governor.
Short and sweet.
Why? How? Or you just throw those out there. And that's not aimed at you, Robbie. You know that. Good morning. Twin Cities News Talk. My name is John Justice. Thank you for the talk back. But what? But why? How? Or are you just tossing that out there just because that's what your party has told you? That's what your president has told you? How? In what way? Right? And kind of, well, I'm not going to go down there, but just, it's so lazy. It's just so lazy. But please, continue. Leave us talkbacks. Right? Expressing your irrelevant opinion. You know, we are very, very pleased to have you share it with us.
Boy, that John Justice, he's a moral. He's a real moral person. He's in the dictionary under morality. Picture a John Justice. They don't give up. They still think you're a
third-rate, off-brand, Breitbart, Minnesotan, MAGA media.
If you don't call, we're going to keep reading from the Scientology manual.
Yesterday, from Alpha News, we covered this story at length. Minnesota High School has scrapped its traditional gender-dependent method of choosing homecoming royalty. This is White Bear Lake area high school, right? No longer going to crown a king and queen as part of its annual homecoming celebration, which took place last week. The school's homecoming committee, with the backing of school administrators, adopted the language of a royalty court where the winners are selected regardless of gender identity. It's your equity. This is your equity. In an email responding to a concerned parent, the school principal, Don Bosch, said the change stems from a traumatic misgendering of a student during last year's homecoming coronation preparations. This year's homecoming committee and staff advisors committed themselves to greater inclusivity while also protecting the core of a rich, beloved high school tradition. No, your attempts to be inclusive are just divisive. Breaking down of societal norms. Look, it's a destructive policy. It's reducing students down to a base level of sexuality at an age where that shouldn't be taking place. And just shouldn't be taking place at all. Attempting to promote individuality when in reality you're just destroying individuals' identity. The left does this because they believe that they are better than the kids and the parents and you. And they only want to use you and exploit you for their own personal gain. And now you have grade school, high school administrators going along with it. Pinkies up, so self-righteous, thinking they're so woke. No, this is the path that leads to ruin. And an authoritarian, government-controlled society where you are just dutiful little consumers that they can pull money from and distribute so that they can go and stay in power. Now, I was a little bit confused when I started getting these emails from parents and listeners to the show because I thought they were talking about White Bear Lake High School, but they're not. In the story from Alpha News, okay, the principal at White Bear Lake High School said that many other school districts in the state are moving away from the traditional homecoming court. Well, it turns out that Farmington High School is apparently one of these schools. Okay. So I received, several emails with this same post. I have one here, and I'll keep those that sent it to me anonymous. This letter was sent to a limited number of people in the Farmington, Minnesota area. I was one of the people. I was not one of the people, but my daughter, who's a student in Farmington High School, did get it sent to her by a student group chat. As to my knowledge, the entire student body at Farmington High School has now seen the letter. Also, got an email here. Not sure if you've heard about this internal email that was from the assistant principal at Farmington High School to staff regarding homecoming students that walked out yesterday. I have two children that graduated from Farmington, and I'm shocked and horrified. A few parents have sent it to a local news outlet, but apparently they wanted nothing to do with it until they learned the students walked out. Just thought you might find it interesting. Okay, so what is this letter email in question? So I'm going to keep this anonymous. If there are talkbackers that want to go and add their commentary to this or name names, you're welcome to do so via the iHeartRadio app, or you can email me, justice@iHeartMedia.com. So this was sent out from the assistant principal. Hi, team. I chatted with, I'll leave it blank, it's a teacher, but I'll leave it blank, about homecoming a bit and wanted to talk a bit. about our presence, about what our presence looked like at the parade and coronation as we switched to royalty instead of a king and queen. Per usual, we have some keyboard warriors who are making this particular teacher they are referring to concerned about student well-being. I think her concerns are valid, and I wanted to make sure that we are showing up for her and our students. And by this whole issue of the homecoming court and royalty and all that, I love the fact that it just goes and completely dismisses all the individual kids now who no longer will be partaking in this anymore. Breaking down of the standards that typically are there. That's not the focal point in what's causing controversy. It's the next paragraph that's causing controversy. This would be, so this is the assistant principal. This would be a great time to use your straight white privilege to reassure and support students and staff in doing what they believe is right for our community. Chat Monday? Signed the assistant principal, Farmington High School, she/her/hers. This would be a great time to use your straight white privilege to reassure and support students and staff in doing what they believe is right for our community. I have so many problems with this. Now, we're going to get into this in further detail. We do have a guest coming up. We're going to be talking with John Phelan from American Experiment, Center of the American Experiment. He put up a piece yesterday about Southwest Light Rail, which I was so pleased to see. The headline is, of course, we can turn our back. We can turn back on Southwest Light Rail. So we're going to talk with John Phelan about the Southwest Light Rail issue. But as we do, I hope you will reach out via the TalkBack on the iHeartRadio app or email me, justice@iheartmedia.com, to share your thoughts on this, especially if you have a student in Farmington High School. If you're from the area, I would love to hear more about this walkout that took place. And we'll dive into a few more details of this. But let me tell you just briefly before we get to our guest and then return back to this story right around 7:45 this morning. To this assistant principal saying, this would be a great time to use your straight white privilege to reassure and support students and staff in doing what they believe is right for our school community. One, it's obviously ridiculous on its face. It's kind of insulting. The straight white privilege is typically used as a pejorative, and yet the assistant principal wants people to go and exploit it? That's the part of this that has me doing, you know, the facepalm. Because it's supposed to be a bad thing, but you're suddenly now endorsing it? Right? If we're going to play the woke game here, right, that's not how the woke game is played. The straight white privilege is something under the woke dictatorship, which is bad. And yet the assistant principal is here. Hey, you need to use that to go and support students. Are you not? No, they're not thinking. It's irrational. Okay. As I said, we will be getting back to this story. In the meantime, want to hear from you. justice@iheartmedia.com. Leave a talk back via the iHeartRadio app. Next, though, very pleased to be talking from Center of the American Experiment with John Phelan. Southwest Light Rail Transit Project has been a disaster. $2.74 billion and counting. Penned a piece yesterday going down the same track that we've gone down on the show many times, and that is, yeah, we can turn back on Southwest Light Rail and stop it tomorrow. We'll get into the details of this and return our attention back to Farmington High School, all coming up on Twin Cities News. Things are getting busy on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. John Justice.
Spicy.
Yeah. Producer Robbie in there working through your talkbacks. Got several individuals leaving talkbacks via the iHeartRadio app, commenting on the talkbacker, fan of the show, saying that Dr. Scott Jensen was a Nazi and a fascist. We'll play some of those. Plus, we want to hear from you if you have children or are aware of the controversy that is erupting out of Farmington High School. Got several emails here. Got some talkbacks coming in as well. We want to talk about that coming up a little bit later on in the hour. Also want to let you know that Scott Johnson from Powerline Blog will be joining us at 8:35 this morning talking about feeding our future. So while Robbie diligently works on compiling all of that audio, I am very pleased to welcome to the show from AmericanExperiment.org, Center of the American Experiment, John Phelan. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Shifting gears to transportation, I came across your piece yesterday as it relates to the Southwest Light Rail Project. And what I loved about it is we talked about this many times on the show. And, you know, as a goofy talk show host, it's easy to go and say, we need to stop this project, regardless of the fact of how much money we've spent on it. But as an individual with a little bit more credibility than I have, I was very pleased to see that you penned an article yesterday going down that very same road. So let's talk a bit about this. The argument seems to be, and we see this happen so many times, especially as it relates to government projects and transportation projects, this idea that, well, we've already spent all of this money already. So if we were to stop this project now, we would just be throwing all of that money away. But the truth of the matter is, when you look at the way that the Southwest Light Rail Project has just continued to balloon in terms of how much money this is going to cost, the best move, actually, in my opinion, and I believe yours as well, would be to stop the project. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as everybody knows, this project is now something like 9 years behind schedule. It's ballooned, its budget's kind of doubled to like $2.7 billion. And the background to this is that now they are $500 million short. They've got a big hole in their financing, and they can't complete this thing. So you just have, if you go by there now, you've got these, you know, train tracks and all the rest of it, and they're just kind of sat there. Or they will be if they don't get this $500 million from somewhere. And there was an op-ed in the Star Tribune. This is what I responded to, Jim Hovland, who's mayor of Edina, and he's chair of the Transportation Advisory Board to the Met Council. So he actually bears not an insignificant degree of the blame for some of this. You know, he's one of the guys in charge of this fiasco. And his whole op-ed was about, look, you know, we can't apportion blame. Well, if I was one of the people to blame, I'd say that too. He said, forget it. No point arguing about it. We spent all this money now. We could just plow on, and which is not true. It's what I call in the article the sunk cost fallacy. When you invest, you know, you don't think about the cost you've incurred. You think about the cost you will incur and whether those are worth the benefits. That's the key concept. And this is just not worth it. I mean, if Southwest Light Rail wasn't worth this money when we went in for it years ago, it's not worth it now. And there's no point literally throwing good money after bad, which is exactly what this is.
Is there any accounting as to why this public works project has ballooned to this $2.74 billion? I know the legislature wants an audit to be done, but do you have any thoughts on why the budget on this has grown as big? I mean, that is, and I personally, I don't think that a lot of individuals anymore, and this isn't a dig on anybody, but I don't think people realize just how much $1 billion actually is anymore. But $2.7 billion is a huge amount of money for a project like this. Can you account as to why the budget has ballooned the way that it has?
Well, I'll give you two reasons. One's the reason that's given, and one's the reason that it actually is. The reason that's given in this, and you can read the Star Tribune op-ed, and Mr. Hovland is very open about this. He says that the project has been beset from the start by the various kinds of issues that crop up on any of these projects. Well, if they crop up on any of these projects, budget for them at the start. You know, if you know these sorts of things are going to happen, don't, you know, take a flyer on it and think, well, it's okay, we can get the money later on. Because, you know, you've got to be honest about the costs up front. That's the only way that you'll undertake sensible investments. That's the reason that they give, because of these unforeseen things that have popped up, which they should have foreseen. But the real reason, I think, that these things happen is that they know. If they'd have stood there, you know, 10 years ago or whatever it was, and said, this project is going to cost X billion dollars, they would have been kicked out of the Senate. They wouldn't have got a hearing. They wouldn't have got House room. And I think they know that. So what they do is they come in with a lowball estimate, and they think if we build 50% of this thing and then run out of money, nobody is going to want to be the politician who pulls the plug on them. So that they can put you on the hook, they assume that everybody else will fall for the sunk cost fallacy.
Give us a little bit of your background. I know, Anna, you have an example in here that I want you to share with the listener. Again, we're talking with John Phelan, Center of the American Experiment, AmericanExperiment.org. Before you provide this example that you have in the piece that you wrote about the abandoned rails in London, give us a bit of your background.
I'm from London, you know, hence the accent. I spent most of my life there. I moved here coming up to 6 years ago. My wife is from the east side of St. Paul and grew up in Cottage Grove, so she kind of clubbed me over the head and dragged me back here. And I haven't regretted it. In terms of the thing that I say about the railways in London, is that there are little railways that crisscross Britain, you know, old rail lines, abandoned rail lines. And if you go to London, some of these rail lines got reused in the 80s as the Docklands Light Railway, which is an automated thing that shuttles you around Docklands. But some of the older rail lines, like the Parkland Walk, which is one that I used to go to quite a lot in North London, that's an old line that used to kind of zigzag across North London from Highgate north. And that line now has been turned into a nature walk. So, and also if you go to East London up by Mile End, there's an old railway line there. It goes over the road. And what they did there for the Olympics is they put plants all along this old rail line and turned that into a nature walk as well. So you can walk through urban East London like you're in the English countryside, kind of. And they could do that with this. The idea that, you know, this thing has to be a rail line or it will be a disaster. Well, turn it into a cycle lane. You love those things so much. Turn it into a nature walk. You know, plant trees along it or something else. Or you can just leave the whole thing there rusting and rotting as a monument to government waste.
Somehow, I don't see the latter happening. Although the former idea, though, to me, at least would allow them, because I think, and you alluded to this a moment ago, John Phelan, but, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to these individuals in charge of these projects just simply don't want to admit their mistakes. You know, they dig their heels in. They don't want to actually go and say that, oh, we kind of screwed this up. I think your turning it into a nature walk would give them, at least among the minds of the individuals that support endeavors like this, a bit of an out. But I'm keeping my expectations low. I'm curious your thoughts on what you think the future ultimately is going to be for this Southwest Light Rail Transit project. I mean, is your expectation that it'll move forward, or do you think we'll actually get some transparency on this and perhaps stop it?
Well, it's very hard to tell because the overwhelming decision should be just to pull the plug on this whole thing. But the politics is different from the economics of it.
Sure.
And the politics is, you know, there are a lot of people who are going to be kind of embarrassed, a lot of politicians who should be embarrassed, but they're going to be kind of embarrassed by having this thing just sitting there, you know, in the middle of the city, not having trains on it. And they've got some of these trains now, you know, what are they going to do with those, you know, turn them into an outdoor classroom or something, I don't know.
Restaurant.
But, you know, I think at the end of the day, there isn't much limit on the amount of money that politicians will spend to avoid looking silly.
John Phelan, again, AmericanExperiment.org. You can check out the piece for yourself. Of course, we can turn back on Southwest Light Rail. Thank you so much for the time this morning. It was great talking with you.
Thanks for having me.
651-989-5855. That's the phone number. You can leave a talkback via the iHeart radio app. We do have some of your talkbacks coming up. Now, let's turn our attention back to what we were talking about a moment ago.
My apologies. Computer sounds. My apologies.
While I have you, how are we doing on the talkbacks? Do we have some as it relates to the Farmington High School controversy? Before you play them, let me reset the story here just briefly. So this was brought to my attention from a number of different listeners. I'll read from one here that I was sent yesterday. This letter was sent to a limited number of people in the Farmington, Minnesota area. I was not one of those, but my daughter, who's a student in Farmington High School, did get it sent to her by a student group chat. As to my knowledge, the entire student body at Farmington High School has now seen this letter. What's becoming clear is there's two different issues going on here. There's one of the changing of how they are conducting the homecoming, and then there's a secondary one of this assistant principal in their sort of ridiculous and insulting way to encourage individuals to go and support students. So, the email goes like this, and then we're going to get to a few messages that I've received from justice@iheartmedia.com and your talkbacks. So the assistant principal writes, I chatted with this particular teacher about homecoming a bit and wanted to talk to you a bit about what our presence looks like at a parade and coronation as we switch to royalty instead of king and queen. Again, a story that we covered yesterday with White Bear Lake Area High School that's doing exactly the same thing, scrapping the gender-dependent method of choosing the homecoming royalty. Per usual, we have some keyboard warriors who are making this teacher concerned about student well-being. I think her concerns are valid, and I want to make sure we are showing up for our students. This would be a great time to use your straight white privilege to reassure and support students and staff in doing what they believe is right for our school community. The assistant principal wants to take, under woke terminology, what is a pejorative, right? It's usually a bad thing. And then wants to go and exploit it, suddenly now endorsing you taking your straight white privilege to reassure and support students and staff. Isn't that oppressive? I mean, isn't that if you're going to go with the idea that somebody has straight white privilege, and then you're going to encourage that individual to use that straight white privilege to go and even something nice, reassure and support students, aren't you now sort of using your straight white privilege to go and oppress other individuals? All right, we do have some talkbacks as it relates to the story.
Yeah, I'm a parent of a student at Farmington High School, and I think I'm going to use my straight white privilege to see that principal, or our principal, I guess, doesn't have a job come next school year. Thanks, guys.
Got an email here. We're going to keep it anonymous. I'm sure you've received emails about this already, but I wanted to make sure my voice is heard. This was an email going to the assistant principal. As a parent of a student in the Farmington school system, this email, screenshot attached, disgusts me. It is time we put the school's agenda to the side and educate our children. These poor kids have had garbage education the past few years with COVID and the joke that was distance learning. Now, instead of focusing on education, we have this, trying to get rid of homecoming kings and queens, figuring out what the proper bathroom to use is, sending out an email advising to make a change using white privilege. Please, 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 writes this parent, teach our children reading, arithmetic, history, etc. Let them enjoy school, prepare them for the real world, but let them be kids. It's time for parents to rise up, time to make a change in this school district or run for charter schools. I am beyond saddened that this trash is part of our Farmington school district. Apparently, this has also happened at Blaine, and I was not aware of this. Blaine High School did the same thing last week. They had two boys crowned as they turned their attention away from your typical homecoming court, instead going with royalty. Many kids and parents are upset but don't feel like they can say much. And that's a problem. You should be allowed to go and speak up and speak out against this. I mean, the truth of the matter is, as I mentioned it before, this is destructive policy. You're reducing students down to a base level of sexuality. You're attempting to promote individuality, but really what you're doing is you're destroying it. You're tearing it down. And what the left doesn't get, and what assistant principals that are putting out this garbage don't get, which is why they assert ridiculous hypocrisy of actually saying, hey, use your straight white privilege to go and do this, even though it's typically looked at you as a bad thing. Because they think they're smarter than you. Because they think they should be making decisions for you. Because they want to strip out your identity. They don't really want you to have one. They want you to be dutiful to the government. Because they think that they're better than you. And they want to exploit you for it. And what they're really doing here is they're exploiting the kids. This is pure indoctrination, plain and simple. And we have reached a level, unfortunately. We've reached a level now where the indoctrination needs to take place, according to some individuals like this, in my opinion, assistant principal, or you are the bad guy. 651-989-5855. Before we go to break, we do have a few white privilege talkbacks via the iHeartRadio app we can play for you.
The term straight white privilege is a myth, and it should more accurately be described as responsible person advantage. White America has traditionally held to Judeo-Christian values and worth ethic. So if you follow those principles, you will be more successful, and that is your advantage from living responsibly.
When you look up the word racism in the dictionary, it simply means that it's a belief that a certain race is superior to another race. When they say white privilege, when they talk about equity, equity means fairness. Who are they to decide what is fair? And if you say privilege, that means that you're better. You're feeding into the racism definition, superior.
651-989-5855. More of your phone calls coming up, your talkbacks as well. Plus, Biden had a really, really bad day yesterday. And then his White House press secretary went and made it really, really worse. We're going to share with you all the audio, and we'll continue the commentary around this latest controversy, this time coming out of Farmington High School, next on Twin Cities News.